Sir, your excellencies, and ladies and gentlemen, yes. You may imagine that my presence here calls for some explanation, and I concede that point. Now, I'm here for two reasons. One is that being Alan Fairhall's Prime Minister, he wasn't game not to ask me. Now, that's one very good reason. The other very good reason is that he knew that I would bring to this task a completely fresh and untrammeled mind, untrammeled by the faintest scientific knowledge. I live in the Dark Ages, in this sense. I drive in here this morning and I see this great dish-looking object sticking up. And in some vague way, I know that it has something to do with collecting information from outside. But how it's done, I haven't the faintest idea. Well, this, of course, is unpardonable ignorance, I know. I can see Sir Frederick White gazing at me with great contempt. But it does give me an objective, clear mind. I come to this problem without any prejudices whatever. And therefore, coming to it without prejudice, I just want to say that I think that this is a very remarkable example of two things. The first is the rapid progress that does go on in this scientific and technological age. I know that every now and then something will crop up in Cabinet, and my colleague here will be putting up a proposal of some kind, and in our ignorance we may question it and want to know what the end result is and whether the end result is really worth all that money. And he is constant to tell us, and it's so true, that it's not so much the end result always as the information you gather as you go, the improvement in techniques, the stretching out of the borders of our own technological knowledge. And this is profoundly true. We perhaps direct too much attention to some distant end result and too little to the fact that in this century, and increasingly in this century, the country that is backward in these fields, will be backward in 100 ways that may not appear to be closely connected with what's going on. And therefore, this is a great step forward, a notable event in this technological period of our lives. And in the second place, it's one more example of the kind of cooperation that is extended by the United States to its friends. Not always, perhaps, to its friends, but in double measure to its friends. I looked through the papers that were sent to me to find out something about the budgetary aspects of these tracking stations, and I'm bound to tell you, Mr. Leidman, that though you mustn't use this against me in future, that I thought it was a bit one-sided. You seem to be carrying the enormous bulk of the expenditure. Well, this is, if I may say so, characteristic of your great country. We ourselves have been capable of producing great resources in what may be called scientific manpower. And this station is manned, as I gather, by Australians. This is of great advantage to us because it increases the stock of knowledge in these fields in Australia. It's also of advantage to the United States because in suitable areas it is able to get highly skilled and authentic information in the course of tracking satellites or other objects moving around in space. There's a certain mutuality about this. But behind it all is a tremendous friendship. Every time I'm told that some reports go in from one of the tracking stations in Australia, there will be a friendly and generous compliment passed from the United States end on the skill with which the operation has been conducted. Sometimes people think that a little country like Australia, little in terms of numbers, maintains a very close friendship with the United States purely for purposes of self-interest. Now, of course, I'm not going to deny for one moment that we have a tremendous, lively interest in Australia, in the friendship and goodwill of the United States. But in the same way, there's a mutuality about this, because all great powers, and history has demonstrated this, inspire, on the whole, rather more enmities than friendships, jealousies, resistances. And they need friends. And even though Australia is a relatively small country, I know from my contacts there that there's a genuine feeling that the attitude of Australia on these matters is one of immense satisfaction to the American administration and the American people. Big friends, little friends, but friends. And friends on this occasion cooperating in one of the new miracles of the 20th century. Sir, that's all I want to say. I noticed that you discreetly placed around through the audience little cartons or tins or something of fly repellents. They sprayed me a bit on the way out, and I'm bound to say so far I haven't been struck by a fly, and I don't think you have either. And therefore, the event is happier still. And adding all these things together, I have the greatest pleasure in the world in declaring it open.
Prime Minister, Your Excellencies, gentlemen, it's a great pleasure at this stage to introduce Mr. Ed Buckley, Senior Representative of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, who is at the same time Director of Data Acquisition and Tracking. Gentlemen, Mr. Ed Buckley.